You have your Bibles today. I invite you to turn with me to the book of 1 Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter number 2. And when you found your place there, then find the book of Mark, chapter number 11. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. In the book of Mark, chapter 11, we'll turn back to verse number 22. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. And when we pray, we ought to have faith. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. I want to preach on this thought this morning when I look at these verses. Somebody prayed for me. Father, I thank you for the privilege of prayer this morning. And Lord, I'm so thankful that somebody had me in mind. Somebody lifted my name up. Somebody prayed for me. According to the word of God, as they were commanded to pray, they prayed for me. Now, Lord, it'd be my turn then, wouldn't it? It'd be my turn to pray for others. Others who are going through struggles. Others who are going through difficulties. Lord, I pray, Father, you'd help us today to see the importance of praying for others. For this we ask your help with today in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. One night during the Civil War, there was an officer that came late at night to General Stonewall Jackson and complained that some of his fellow soldiers were making noise in their tent. The general said, well, what are they doing? He said, well, they're praying now, but they have been singing. General Jackson said, and is that a crime? And the officer said, well, the Articles of War state that punishment is to be sentenced for an unusual noise. General Jackson said, God forbid that praying should be an unusual noise in the camp. Amen. Amen. Jeremiah said in chapter 33, verse 3, call unto me, the Lord's words, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. I want to look at four areas this morning where somebody prayed for me. I want to jump all the way back to the book of Exodus. The book of Exodus, please. Chapter number 17. Israel is under heavy attack. The Amalekites are attacking them and fighting and warring against them on every angle. They need somebody to stand in the gap for them. They need somebody to intercede. The Bible says in the book of Exodus, chapter number 17 and verse number 8, then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. And Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he had let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. And they took a stone and put it under him. And he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady unto the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Please realize this morning that when the battle was raging, Moses stood up with the rod of God in his hand and stood in the gap. And as he lifted his hands, Israel won a great victory. But as he grew tired and began to let down his guard, began to have to lower his arms, Israel lost the battle. And the Amalekites took back over. Moses put his hands back up, victory. His hands go down, defeat. Oh, I want to say, praise God, that praying this morning, praise is the type of prayer. Praying will get the job done. Praise God, there were two men that got under burden and said, the man of God, we need to help him. And they anchored him, lifted those hands up. And when his hands were lifted up, God gave a great victory over the enemy. Number one this morning, aren't you glad that somebody touched heaven for the saints of God? When we were out there in the warfare, when we're in a struggle, somebody touched heaven in our stead. Somebody sought the Lord's face. Somebody lifted us up to the Lord and said, oh God, would you grant them victory? Oh God, would you help them? I want to say this morning, on the pew beside you, on the pew in front of you, just across from you, on the pew behind you, there are folks this morning that are struggling. And I'm telling you, they prayed and prayed until they themselves have grown weary. They're in need of somebody to come along beside them and lift up their hands and say, oh God, I'm going to get beside my brother. Oh God, I'm going to get beside my sister. I'm going to lift this thing up to you, God, in prayer. And the Lord, I believe, this morning will give us victory. I'm sure glad when I couldn't make it on my own. When I was overcome and the battle was too intense, it was too great for me. Somebody scooched up next to me and began to pray and call the Lord on my behalf. And God sent down a great victory. Aren't you glad this morning? Praise God, I want to flip the pulpit over. Aren't you glad this morning as somebody prayed for you, amen, when you were in a struggle? Hey, victory was the result. During World War II, there was a Marine there. He was serving in the South Pacific. His platoon was under heavy fire, but yet they took that hill. But the sergeant said to one of the soldiers, he said, Private, I order you to go and raise up the flag on this hill because I want all the other units to know that we've taken this hill. And that young boy grabbed the flag. He took off running, and he was shot and killed by a sniper. All the enemy wasn't dead yet. And so they laid out the flag on the battlefield. The sergeant sent another private, said, go pick up that flag, son, and anchor it up on that pole and hoist it, that the other units may know victory's been won on this hill. He ran on the battlefield, picked up that flag, took about 3 steps, and he was shot and killed. Sergeant began to weep, and he said, will somebody raise up that flag out of this foxhole? One of the boys said, sir, if you'll wait till about 4 o'clock, that's just a few minutes away, I'll grab that flag and hoist it up on that pole and let all the other units know we've got the victory. And the sergeant said, son, we'll wait. They dug in for just a few minutes. At 4 o'clock sharp, that boy jumped up, ran across that battlefield, grabbed that flag, went to that pole, hoisted that flag up, ran back across the battlefield, jumped down the foxhole without a scratch on him. Everybody was applauding and cheering and saying hallelujah. And the sergeant said, son, why on earth did you have me wait till 4 o'clock? He said, well, sir, it is 4 o'clock here, but I'm from Kansas. And my mama said at 6 a.m. every morning in Kansas, she'd get on her knees and she'd seek the face of the Lord and pray for me. I knew I'd be all right. I knew I'd be safe while my mama was touching heaven for me. I want to say to you this morning, amen, you and I must realize it's important that we pray one for another. Paul said in the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5 and verse 25, he said, brethren, pray for us. Hey, I want to tell you something this morning. If you say, preacher, Darren, I don't know what to pray for. Look right here. Pray for us. We need the help, amen. You remember old Job? Oh, what a struggle he went through. Oh, he lost everything. Lost all his kids. He was bereaved of all his children. He went bankrupt, amen. Had boils all over his body. Lost everything that he had, amen. But the Bible says in the book of Job, chapter 42, I believe it's verse 10, the Bible said when Job prayed for his friends, the Lord turned the captivity and gave Job back double everything he lost. When it happened, when he began to pray for somebody else, when he got up beside him, when they'd failed, when they'd get bad advice, when they should have been cast down, Job was lifting them up. I'm glad, aren't you, that somebody touched heaven for the saints of God. Turn with me, go back now to the book of Genesis. Back to the book of Genesis, we want to look in chapter number 18. God says in this chapter that he's coming down to a place called Sodom and Gomorrah because their sin is very great and very grievous. And God told a man by the name of Abraham, said, I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. I'm going to destroy it by casting down hailstones filled with brimstone and fire. And Abraham began to pray, got on his knees, and he said, Lord, would you destroy those great cities if you could find 50 righteous? And the Lord said, if I could find 50 righteous, I won't destroy the cities. He said, oh, Lord, peradventure, we lack five. Lord, if there's 45, if there's 45 in the whole crowd down there, would you spare? What's it if he's praying, interceding? Lord, can I spare for 45? Abraham said, Lord, if you'd spare for 40, would you spare those two cities for 40? The Lord said, Abraham, I'll spare for 40. Oh, Lord, what about 30? 30 is a good number. If we get 30 down there that's saved, 30 that's serving God, would you spare those great cities? God said, I will. Oh, Abraham came back and said, oh, Lord, how about 20 down there? God said, I'd spare for 20. Abraham said, Lord, would you spare for 10? This is what he's thinking. I've got a nephew down there in Sodom. His name is Lot. There's a Mrs. Lot, and they've got two boys, and they've got two girls at home that's not married. They've got two girls that we got. They got two girls that are married. That's not husbands. That's 10 in the family. Surely they're saved. If Lord, Abraham said, Lord, if there's 10 in Sodom and Gomorrah, would you allow the whole city to make it? The Lord said, I'd do it. Abraham left off right there. He had prayed and prayed and prayed until he had got satisfied. Oh, I want to say this to somebody this morning. Aren't you glad, somebody, when you was lost and destitute, deserving to go to hell and to be there with your back broke? I'm telling you what, my mom, my dad got concerned about my soul. They prayed over me every night. I could hear them across the hallway. Calling on God, would you save our boys? I remember laying there saying, save us from what? We're pretty good boys. We ain't killed nobody. We ain't stole nobody's money. My daddy kept calling on the Lord and bringing in the word of God and under sound preaching. And one fine day I got lost. One fine day I found out I needed to be saved. My mom and dad, my grandma and grandpa, my old-fashioned preacher, some of the deacons, my Sunday school teachers, and they lifted me up to the Lord. Oh, God, would you save that boy in my class? Oh, he don't even know it yet, but God, he's on his way to hell. Would you save him, Lord? Hey, aren't you glad to get a witness that somebody prayed for sinners? Somebody touched heaven on behalf of a bunch of sinners, amen. I didn't get in on my own accord, amen. I got in because somebody had been praying for me, and conviction failed. Boy, it happened here again last Sunday morning. What God saved, amen. What God saved when people got in here and got to pray. Oh, that this church is, oh God, I don't want you to be done yet. Oh God, I pray. Have you saved sinners? Maybe you're here today. You've never been saved. I'll tell you something. You've run into a place where people's praying for you. You've run into a place where people want to help you, where people want to encourage you, where people are just like you. We were lost. We were undone. We were without God and without hope in this present world. But praise God that day when we got lost and we called on Jesus, he came by and saved our soul. Amen. Listen, J. Oswald Sanders said, it is possible to move men by prayer and by prayer alone. Men may spurn our appeals. They may reject our message. They may oppose our arguments. But they are helpless against our prayers. Amen. Listen here. Maze Jackson said this. Maze Jackson told about preaching one time. He said, I've been preaching a revival meeting. And he said, I was preaching the first night out of the book of Matthew chapter 18 and verse number 19. I want to read you what this verse says. The Bible says, if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Boy, he preached on that verse. When the service was over, a little boy came to him in the back and said, Preacher Jackson,
And do you believe that scripture you preached? He said, son, I believe it with all my heart. Little boy began to cry and he said, well, preacher, my daddy abandoned us, left me and my mom and my little brother and little sister. He ran off with some woman. He ran off with alcohol in his hands. We've never seen or heard from my daddy since. And he said, all I want, preacher, is I want to see my daddy come home. I want to see my daddy get in the house of God. I want to see my daddy get saved. He said, preacher, would you claim that verse with me? You said you believed it. Preacher, would me and you just get down right here at the back of the church and pray over this verse, claim this verse, that my daddy get saved? Brother May said, ooh, boy, it's time to be put to the test. He got down on his knees and he began to weep. He said he wiped tears out of the pages of his Bible, begging God to save that little boy's daddy. The little boy walked off with faith, but Preacher Mays was ashamed to admit it, but he had his doubts as to whether that ever happened. It had been all this time and had not seen that man. But he said, well, I agreed, and we're going to turn this over to Jesus. I want you to know what happened. He began to preach every night. That little boy would come sit on the front row with him. And that little boy, while everybody else was hollering, amen, preacher, glory to God, preacher, that little boy would say, Matthew 18:19. Oh, I'm telling you, the preacher was worried. By the end of the week, nothing had happened. It was Friday night. He thought, boy, that little boy is going to be very disappointed. Friday evening came, started the service. The man's not there. I'm telling you, they had the whole service. I mean, they'd sung, they'd preached. Altar call had been made. People was a-fellowshipping. About that time, the back door swung open. That little boy put his Bible up in there and he said, Matthew 18:19. The preacher turned around, looked at that little boy and he said, that's my daddy. That just walked in the back of the church. He went and found his estranged wife, got her by the hand, asked her to forgive him, fell on the old-fashioned altar, repented of his sins, got saved. And let me tell you something, he's still serving God this very day. Understand with me that nothing's too hard for God if we'll seek the Lord's face. Aren't you glad there's some people touched heaven for you? The book of 2 Kings, I'm halfway done. The book of 2 Kings, chapter number 19. We meet a man by the name of Hezekiah. He's the king of all the land. The enemies, the Assyrians, they have surrounded the land of Jerusalem. I want you to know it does not look good. I mean, there's no help. There's no way out. It looks like that they're forever sealed in their fate. He's written a letter to Hezekiah. He said, you just need to go ahead and run up the white flag of surrender. Why try to fight against us? You see how many there are? There's 185,000 of us that surround your city. There's no hope. There's no way. Your God cannot deliver you. The Bible says, are you with me? In 2 Kings chapter 19, look at verse 14. And Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwellest between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made heaven and earth. Lord, bow down thine ear and hear. Open, Lord, thine eyes and see, and hear the words of Sennacherib, which hath sent him to reproach the living God. Let me tell you what, the Lord heard his prayer when he began to pray over the people in that city. Hey, aren't you glad somebody lifts up the suffering? Those that are suffering, Hezekiah began to pray. He said, if the enemy comes in, we're going to suffer hardship. We're going to suffer an immeasurable loss. And I want you to know, Lord, without you, what will we do? He began to pray. And let me tell you something. I'm glad when my heart was so heavy, preaching wasn't in me, praying wasn't in me. All I could do was cry, and I'd cried so much I couldn't cry anymore. That there were some folk sitting right here in this church that got on their knees and said, oh God, would you bless our preacher? Oh God, would you help him with what he's going through right now? And I'm telling you what, supernaturally, divinely, when there was no help that was imminent, God came through, came down to the depths of my soul, reinforced some of his promises to me, encouraged me in the Lord, and lifted me up and put me back on the firing line, because somebody prayed for me. I'm telling you what, this old altar, it's a place, amen, to get refired. It's a place, amen, to go to the Lord and petition him and to seek his face and to ask his help. Aren't you glad when you were suffering, when your family had that loss of a loved one? Man, you was hurting so bad. You didn't know how you was going to stand by the casket. You didn't know how you'd make it through the funeral. I tell you what happened. Woo! Somebody somewhere was on their knees calling out the name of your family and you individually lifting you up. And you said, I don't know how we got through it, but somehow God gave me peace and he deserves all the praise. But what you don't know, one of these days you're going to see somebody called up and be given a reward to say, you're rewarded for your faithful service in praying for somebody else that was hurting. It may be this morning you're hurting yourself. Preacher Darren, I can't see clear to pray for anybody but me. I'm hurting so bad. I promise you this. What if Job had done that? Nobody hurt like Job did. I mean, he had lost everything. What would Job have done? Why, I'd have stayed home. I wouldn't have been in the service. I wouldn't come to Sunday school. I wouldn't come on Wednesday night. But Job bereaved of 10 children. Job with boils all over his body and they were hurting. Job when he was bankrupt of all his possessions and he was made ashamed and destitute in the congregation. He came back before God and he said, God, would you bless my buddies here? Would you help my friends? And God gave him victory with all that. Amen. I'm telling you this morning, somebody needs to be praying for those that are suffering. Amen. You remember President Dwight D. Eisenhower? He was born afflicted with polio. His mama was a devout Christian. She was told by the doctor that Mr. Eisenhower, that young man, would never walk again. But she didn't believe that doctor. She got on her knees, threw her body across the crippled legs of her little boy, and she said, Lord, you didn't send this boy here to be a cripple. You sent him here for a great purpose. Now, Lord, would you just touch him and would you deliver him? And you know what God did? God touched that little boy, raised him up. Dwight D. Eisenhower was the architect of the World War II D-Day invasion there in Normandy. And God used him in a mighty way. And when you see and think about what Dwight D. Eisenhower accomplished, you need to look back first of all at God and second of all at a little mama that was praying over her little boy in a time of sorrow, in a time of hurt. I'm telling some of you right now, you're about ready to run out here to the altar already and say, I got somebody in mind. I know somebody, a sign of God, it's hurting. I know a sinner needs to be saved. I know somebody that's sorrowful. Now listen to this when I'm done. Look with me in the book of Luke, chapter 23. I'm done right here. We meet a man who's been beaten beyond all human recognition. He's carrying a cross up a hill called Calvary. He submits there. They nailed him to the cross. And they raised him up, shamed him, spat upon, scourged. Oh, how he was abused. There hangs our Savior. How he had been rejected. How he had been mistreated by the entire world. But there he hangs. And verse 34. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Aren't you glad that when you and I were condemned to a devil's hell, that Jesus touched heaven for the souls that are sinful? Woo! He prayed for us on that old cross as he was hanging there between heaven and this earth, as he was made our sin. He prayed for us. Oh, listen to those that torment him. He said, forgive them. For those that rejected him, he said, forgive them. Hey, for those of us who had not even come along yet, who had lived according to our own standards and our own ways, sinfully, he prayed for us. And what was the result? Oh, what love. Oh, what grace. And by that love and by that grace, you and I have been saved. Listen, right now, you know what he's doing? The Bible says that he's on the right hand of God the Father, where he ever liveth to make intercession for us. Oh, I'm glad this morning that after Jesus gave his life on that cross And they put him in that tomb on the first day of the week. Up from the grave he arose. And he ever liveth to make intercession. I'm thankful for that this morning. I want to give this illustration and I'm done. Back in the olden days, Sir Walter Raleigh, that great British explorer for which our state's capital is named, he went to the Queen of England like he always did, begging for support, begging for money so he could sail and make discoveries. And he said to the Queen, I need some support. And she said, Sir Raleigh, when will you leave off with your begging? He stopped and said, when your majesty leaves off giving. And that made me think, the God of grace never gets tired of us asking, and he never grows weary of giving. He gives and gives and giveth again. You stand to your feet. Somebody prayed for you. Somebody prayed for me. Somebody needs you to take them to Jesus this morning. You'd pray over their need. Who did the Lord lay on your heart this morning? Some saint that's going through struggles? Some sinner in need of salvation? Some sorrowing person today needing help? Maybe there's a soul that's exceeding sinful. Jesus is praying over them right now that they'd come and call on the name of Jesus and be saved. Oh, that you'd come today. Folks are bowing round about. Lord, this morning, we thank you for all that you've done. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity, God, to make it known openly that Jesus Christ is our Savior. He prayed for us on Calvary's cross. He won the victory and triumphed over the tomb. And today, Lord, we're saved because of the sacrifice and the prayers of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Father, this morning, there are folks around us, the older fool, down the aisleways even, of folks that are sorrowing, folks that are hurting, folks that are praying over people today, God, that are sinful, folks that used to be in the house of God. We pray for them, Lord.